Well, it is time for the Berkshire Edge on air here on Robinhood Radio. You can find the Berkshire Edge, of course, at theberkshireedge.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and also here on Robinhood Radio, and also on our on-demand page. And we are going to start this morning off by saying good morning once again to Marcy and David. Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, it's a really dark and stormy morning.
Well, it certainly is. I haven't seen it this dark in the morning in a long time.
No, I haven't either. Or this stormy.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I got a notification about somebody was passing around notifications about the Great Barrington meeting and how it was going to involve the Great Barrington Airport. So I posted that. I posted that on my personal site, and I posted it on the station site. The station site got 1,300 and some odd views, and my personal site I can't check, but a lot of people commenting from our area on this, saying people should show up at this meeting. So I was wondering, I see you've got number one here, the controversy of the Great Barrington Airport with the select board hosting that crowded public meeting. How did that meeting go?
Well, we wrote about it. you know, it's very volatile. I mean, our select board chair, Steve Bannon, said this is the biggest attendance he has ever seen as a select board member, and he's been a select board member for quite a while. So
I think, you know, he was the town's first select board member. No, not that long.
No. But you know, this is turning out to be a very unpleasant situation. And, you know, and we're writing about it a lot. Something wrong with my computer, and I'm not able to... it's feverish on both sides. It's not only this meeting from last night, but you know, we're running a multi-part series written by our investigative reporter Bill Schein, and that's getting enormous attention as well. So how did it go? My computer's frozen is the problem. So,
well, there was a packed town hall meeting, town hall, for a special permit application from the operators of the airport.
Yep.
That was what prompted this big controversy. It prompted a meeting in which a lot of people showed up about the airport. Now, the airport has historically been, you know, it's been a kind of, in the past, it's been a kind of historic treasure in Great Barrington, you know, a lot of people. But now it's because of the way Great Barrington has developed. You know, there are now people who live next to the airport or who live in the flight path to it that are objecting to this airport.
On the other hand, there was a woman who testified. I mean, there were also people who want to save the airport. And in fact, there was this one woman, a woman named Eunice Agar, who lives right near the airport and has an artist studio right near her house. And she says that during my entire time when I'm in my studio or in my house, I never hear the planes. The only time I hear them is when I'm sitting on my back porch in warm weather. The planes don't make any more noise than the trucks going by. So, yep. But on the other hand, then there are other people who are speaking, you know, very much against the airport about how noisy it is and how dangerous it is. And so,
but I've been out there and it's no more noisy than it's ever been. But what these people are objecting to is they happen to buy second homes, you know, there next to the airport. And they say, hey, wait a minute. you know, there's an airport next door.
If you were to take a guess at that meeting, how many people, percentage wise, do you think are in favor of the airport and people that are against it?
I don't know. I don't.
I'm not sure.
I said David and I were not at the meeting. Our reporter was there. The board is scheduled to continue the public hearing on Monday, March 13th, which will be both at town hall and via Zoom. So it'll continue on this discussion will continue on March 13th. I had heard, and our writer Shaw doesn't seem to write about this, but I had heard that the owner of the Triplex Cinema had invited people to the Triplex where he was going to, you know, pipe in the meeting because he didn't think, and I don't know whether that was happening. Shaw probably didn't know, but there are, I mean, I can only tell you, you know, the response we're getting to Bill Shine's articles that it's not so much that there's so many, but that the people who are participating are very exercised about their position, both for and against. So it's looking like, you know, it's one of these issues where it's much more than the airport.
Yeah.
You know, it's a social divide in some ways.
Well, it's become one. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's become one of those us against them issues.
Right, but it's you know.
Well, it's I'll tell you what it is. It's newcomers who have bought second homes against people who have lived here, you know, have lived here. It's the same old fight that we've had for a long time. You know, they don't like this. They bought property next to an airport, and then they say, let's get rid of the airport. You know, it has this kind of social divide in the town.
But, you know, it's not clear. I mean, I'm not completely clear. I mean, yeah, I think there's some of that, but I'm not completely clear on what how the people are divided. I just know it's bigger than the airport, but I'm not, you know, I'm still having trouble figuring out what the real issues are, except for, you know, I do know that there are a few people who are pumping a lot of money into this. The nearby residents. I mean, there's a couple called Mark Fasto and Ann Fredericks, and there's another neighbor named Holly Hamer, and then there's 17 other people who filed a complaint. Now, Holly Hamer is not a newcomer, is she, David?
No.
No. So it's a very mixed group. And I know other people who live near the airport, you know, who don't seem to be bothered by it at all.
In fact, with musicians.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we should go.
But it's definitely the biggest story we have right now. I mean, there's a Save the Airport group, which has its own website, and then there's this Citizens Committee, which is advertising on the Edge too. I mean, we have a big banner ad, which may be coming down. I think they were only going to run it until this meeting, so it may be coming down tonight. But and there's all kinds of misinformation. Bill Shine is getting, you know, emails, and he's being attacked on social media, and people are just repeating all kinds of misinformation, stuff that, you know, he put in his carefully researched articles, people are saying, no, you're wrong, but he's not wrong, this is what's happening, is just this, you know, the misinformation is getting passed along until it takes on the appearance of validity, but it's not valid.
Yes.
And then people are just quoting each other, you know. And so
what you're pointing to is the next part of the story was that Once again, we're going to talk about Bill Shine's a series of articles that's in the Berkshire Edge, specifically well-researched on the airport.
Right.
That's right. That's the second.
That's right. So we've published three so far, and I think there are about eight or nine of them. This last one, which requires close reading, was about the, can we estimate whether the airport is busier now than it was in the past? And the conclusion, Bill's conclusion, is it's very hard to know. I mean, it has been busier. There have been times in the past when the airport has been busier, but still, the way the airport logs are kept and the way, you might have a flight school student who takes off and lands, seven or eight times in the course of a lesson, but he may only be logged in as one takeoff and landing because he's just going up and down and up and down. So it's hard to know whether the airport is busier. I mean, I think, what Bill is saying is there do seem to be more people with private planes, but that the big difference is that the flight school has become much more active.
All right, let's move on to that meeting, because there was more than the airport at that meeting, son of a gun. And and that was affordable housing.
Oh, affordable housing.
Oh, yeah. That's been an issue in the Berkshires and in Great Barrington for years. And
in Connecticut, too.
And it's... The select board is looking at
this is a different meeting, by the way.
This is a different meeting.
This wasn't last night's meeting.
This is from February 13th, actually. Right. And it's a Great Barrington. The select board and the Great Barrington Planning Board are looking at programs to develop to address the what is perceived as the affordable housing crisis in the town, and that's what this discussion has been ongoing for quite a while, and it's coming to a head here.
Well, and there are a couple of proposals that are being discussed. One is the possibility of a tax deduction for people who make affordable rental housing available year-round. Not short-term rentals, but year-round. And then the second program is a program for the town for a real estate transfer fee to support affordable and workforce housing. So in other words, if you sell or buy a house, you'd pay a transfer fee. I'm not sure who pays it, but... and this would go into a fund to provide affordable rental and home ownership opportunities for low and moderate income households. Now, it's going to be hard because you're going to have to build build housing units.
Well, one of the select board members, Lee Davis, pointed out that Provincetown out on the Cape has had the same problem, same issue. And they seem to have developed a program that would allow and promote affordable housing.
Right.
So she's suggesting that the town look into that as a model.
Right. So there are these two things. I mean, there's either a tax exemption for owners of affordable year-round housing, or there's this, flip tax or transfer tax.
Yeah.
Just looking at the BerkshireEdge.com, you've got a cauldron of stories. You've got the airport, you've got affordable housing, and you have the Housatonic Water Company.
Oh, geez.
Listen,
yes, that's true.
Let's just make sure that we don't run out of time before we tell you some of the other more amusing things we have on the edge. So
let's not forget the Housatonic Water
No
Waterworks.
Right.
that has been an issue that has plagued the town of Great. Within the town of Great Barrington is the village of Housatonic, and it has its own water system.
Private.
And it's its own privately owned water system. And it has been that the revenue, it came to a head when the revenues from that village water system just couldn't pay for its upkeep. Or
decided not to.
Or decided not to, right.
Right.
And so the town has been attempting to merge the greater Great Barrington water system with the
well, it hasn't been attempting to merge it. I mean, it's one of the possibilities.
That's what they're
so gaming. There was an appraisal done. There was an appraisal that said that the waterworks, the company, is worth $2.3 million.
The Housatonic system, the privately owned waterworks.
We had a very interesting article just sent into us by a lawyer named Peter Most, which we published today on the 27th, yesterday, last night, which is an appraisal of the appraisal. he is discussing, and it's very interesting, how one comes to an appraisal, how you evaluate a company like this. And there's the income approach, like how much income does it throw off or generate, right? There are also other approaches. There's the market approach, like, you know, how much would somebody pay for it? You know, you may think that your house is worth $3 million, but if nobody wants to pay $3 million, then it's not worth $3 million.
This all goes back to a time long ago when municipal services like water systems and even roads were privately owned. Housatonic, the little village within the town of Great Barrington, is one such instance of that historical throwback where the water system is privately owned. And as what's happened is that it turns out that the revenues are just not sufficient to keep that water system up to snuff and safe for its users.
So it's a big problem. I mean,
it is a big
problem. Real estate values, and for one thing, I mean, just real estate values in Housatonic are are greatly affected. I mean, I know I have a friend who is thinking of renting a house in Housatonic during the summer, and she's hesitating to do it because, she's worried about the water. Well, that's for a 2-week rental. I mean, but imagine if you're going to buy a house, you're going to have to shower in that water, or cook your vegetables in that water, bathe your children in that water. It's really disgusting.
Now, I don't want to run out of time for the next one, because we do need a little, I don't know, levity or what, but your serial novel, Artificial Insanity.
Right.
So we have, I don't know, David, do you want to talk about this?
Well,
this
we have this, we've done this before, but we started a serial novel.
It's like a progressive actually. Dinner.
What?
It's like a progressive dinner.
Yes. And we started off with the first writer, and there's each chapter in this novel has a different writer. And so you do not know where the story is going. We have somebody who starts it off and hands it off to the next writer, and he or she can take it wherever they want. And they do.
So we are now, and this is, I mean, and it's very funny because it's about, it starts off at any rate, it's the story of three children who discover that their mother is not really their birth mother, but she's not but they were all the product of donated eggs from the same woman, all three of them. But so they suddenly want to meet their donor mother, and how that affects the relationships with their birth mother, and you know, and where it goes, and how do they treat that? Well, you know, who is this other woman who happened to whose eggs they were born from? But it does take interesting twists and turns. I mean, it will be 8 chapters in all. We have published four. We just published the fourth. And they're not long. They're very easy to read. It's really fun. And, you know, each one, if you come in the middle, we give links to all the previous chapters. So you can just catch up and start from the beginning, no matter when you discover this. It's really fun. We put it out on Sunday morning because we think it's really fun for, you know, to read on Sunday. And we've got four more, and ends up in a very interesting way.
And each one with a different writer.
Yeah, right. Some men, some women.
That's right.
And they're all published writers, though.
Right. And we have no idea where this story is going.
Right.
Well, we do. I think that's part of the fun of reading it. Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Yes. Totally fun. Yes.
Now, this current chapter was written by the man Dan Towzinski, who is a farmer who ran Taft Farms, which is a, you know, an important institution in Great Barrington, but who also has been for many years a writer. And so he's written this chapter. He's published a book and he's written this chapter. So the next chapter is being written by Matt Tannenbaum, who owns the bookstore in Lenox, you know, who's also quite a well-known Berkshire character. So we, you know, we have very interesting people writing these chapters, different ages, different levels of experience, different backgrounds.
And you have no idea where they're going to take it.
right. I mean, you know.
So it is sort of artificial insanity. I mean, that's.
Yes, exactly.
Well, we are out of time, but I'm glad we got that in with all the other.
Yes.
The other news.
It's fun, too. I mean,
it's a lot of fun.
It's very informative, but it's a lot of fun.
All right. So, of course, people can find all that in the Berkshire Edge at theberkshireedge.com. You can also listen to it right here. We talk about the main stories here on Robin Hood Radio. And you also have your magazine and your calendar.
Yes, we do. Right. The Out and About with the Berkshire Edge.
Right.
And the best online calendar in the area.
All right. Guys, we'll speak to you in the next couple of weeks.
Yes.
Okay.